One of the major issues that we struggle with in life, maybe it's just me. So maybe let me say one of the things that I struggle with is a life of comparison. I struggle with comparison sometimes. When I go to meetings, I look at what's in the car park. I look at the cars that are being driven. I then look at my own car and I get a bit disappointed. I don't know if you've been there. I walk into big churches and I look at how beautiful this auditorium is. And I think of my own church. And my heart gets sore. I walk into certain churches and see how big their stage is. It's bigger than our church. My heart gets troubled. I go visit friends, they have a double story. And my son says, Daddy, I want a double story. I don't want to go back to the house. My heart gets sore. I go to certain homes and see how clean their pool is. I think of my own pool. I probably need to do some work on it. I see how green their lawn is. Mine is brown. I don't know if you've been there where you just look around you and you just feel, couldn't my life be better? Can I not be better? Can I not do things in a different way? And can I be honest with you? I am tired of comparing myself with other people. I am weary of comparing myself with other people. And I'm also tired of being a copycat. Feeling like I need to preach like T.D. Jakes. And I end up screaming and I make a fool out of myself. Because the anointing that is upon Bishop is not on me. But I try to be like him. Can I tell you something this morning? You can never be a best copy of somebody else. You've got to be your best version of yourself. And I guess I'm not just alone. I'm looking at copycats here. I'm looking at people who want to sing like Yolanda Adams, want to sing like somebody else. Be you. Am I alone in this story? No, I can't be alone. There must be somebody. My wife is laughing because I know she fits into that. I'm safe saying that about her. Okay? But the problem with comparison is this. You will never feel adequate. When you live a life of comparison, you will never feel adequate. You see, when you look around you, there will always be somebody who's more handsome than you. There will always be somebody who's got longer hair than you. But if you also look beside you, there are people who are like you. But if you look behind you, you find that there are people who don't have what you have. So the problem of living a life of comparison is that you'll never feel adequate. That is the first problem. The second problem is that when you live a life of comparison, you'll never work on yourself. Because you're preoccupied at looking at what has happened over the wall. What type of music are they playing these days? What are they doing with their children? Where are they going for holiday in this coming December break? We keep on comparing ourselves, and because of that, you will never work on yourself. You're preoccupied by what's happening in your neighbor's bedroom. Another thing, if you live a life of comparison, it slows you down. Have you ever tried to walk and texting at the same time? Have you ever tried to walk and looking at other people? You don't make much progress. It slows you down. That is the problem of comparison. And the other problem that I have, that we have when we compare ourselves with people, is that it gives you a false sense of arrival, a false sense of achievement. You look at your kid who's doing so well at school, and you look at another child who is struggling, you look at them and you say, my kids are better than that. You see, you look at your life and you say, this past week, I did not commit one sin and therefore I carry the righteousness of God. It gives us a false sense of fulfillment. When a brother trips over himself, we are so judgmental because we think, how could he? It could have been me. It could have been you. That is the problem of living a life of comparison. I don't know if you have done that before, but at the center of this issue of comparison is a deep-seated lack of understanding of you. When you don't know you, when you don't know who you are, you keep on comparing yourself with the next person. When you don't know what you carry, you always compare yourself with a work colleague. When you don't know your ability and what you can deliver, you always, always compare yourself with somebody. And it comes down to the issue of identity. Do we know who we are in the Lord? Because when we know who we are, it doesn't matter what anyone else does. It is fine. They're living up to who they are. Good for them. You see, the best you should do for yourself is to compete against the potential that you carry. And as long as you compete against me, you will never live out your potential. Because I don't carry your potential. You carry your own potential. When you come before God one day, He will not say to you, "Did you live up to what your brother was doing?" No. He will say, "Did you live up to what I placed inside of you?" So as we are going on with this series of Jesus the Man, this morning I want to talk to you on the message entitled, Born for This. Born for This. And for the coming 3 weeks, we'll be talking about this issue. When we are talking about born for this, we are talking about your calling. We are talking about your destiny. We are talking about your purpose. And you cannot separate your identity from what God has called you to do in life. You cannot separate who you are from what you were born to do. You see, when somebody gets to that point of connecting with what they were born to do, it changes a whole lot of things in their lives. You would find that somebody is okay with driving a bumped up car that is old, but they are a fulfilled individual because they're living for what they were born to do. They say, "It doesn't matter what type of a car I drive, as long as when I go to bed, my heart is full, my heart is satisfied, because I'll say, Lord, I have done what you've called me to do today." There are so many people who live off a luxurious life, but empty inside. That emptiness comes because they don't live what they were born to do. That is why we keep on looking for something else. We keep on searching. We keep on looking for satisfaction. Why? Because we haven't collided with what we're born to do. The day that you meet up and you live up to what you're born to do, you'll find that it doesn't matter even if you are not paid, you will live a fulfilled life because you're living your purpose. You're living what God has called you to do. You see, whenever we talk about purpose, you have people who say, "Man, I've been searching for my purpose for a long time. I've been asking myself, Lord, what is my purpose? What is my calling?" And right now you are in a state of confusion. I don't know if you've been there. Whenever people talk about purpose, for you it seems to elude you. It seems to just, you know, you don't get it. And there's this sense of disillusionment in your heart where you're saying, "Lord, what is my purpose?" And one of the things that I've realized that, you know, each one of us, we have a know-how of what we are supposed to do. But because we live in a society that defines success in a certain way, we tend to think what I feel in my heart is not really the big deal. You think my purpose has to be this grandiose mega dream that impacts nations and nations, and yet maybe your purpose is to raise God-fearing children. Maybe that is what God has put for you. Why? Because God is saying, "I'm going to raise one of your children as a great business person, as a prophet to the nations, as an apostle. But for that to happen, mommy, I have called you to raise this little boy so that he can touch nations." And you're busy asking, "Lord, what's my calling? What's my calling?" And God says, "You know what's your calling. Your heart is for your kids. That is why you resigned at work to be with your kids." Does somebody hear me this morning? We have complicated this issue of purpose. to a point where we miss it when it's right in front of us. Let that sink in for a moment. Just think about your life. The stuff that you've neglected because there's no glamour with them. And yet God is saying, I want you to be faithful there. I have placed you here for a reason. Now, when we talk about Jesus the man, I want you to know that Jesus the man is in the business of calling people out. Jesus is in the business of drawing the treasure that he has placed in each and every one of us. Let's go into Luke, as we're dwelling in Luke around this series of Jesus the man. Let's look at a number of instances that Jesus went out and he called people into their destiny. And Jesus has not changed. Jesus is calling you, my brother, my sister. Jesus is calling you to a higher dimension of life. And again, the higher dimension of life is not camera lights, popularity, no. The higher dimension of life works differently for different people. Glory be to God. Luke 5, verse 9. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Here is Jesus about to launch his ministry. And he says, I know that there are men in whom I have placed an ability to stand with me as we establish the kingdom of God. It was not by coincidence that Jesus selected the boat of Peter to preach to the people who were at the shore. And after all was said and done, he said to Peter, you've been fishing out a fish, but there's a higher calling over your life. Come, follow me. I'm going to make you into a fisher of men. And the Bible says, after all, they left the boats and they followed Jesus. You see, the purpose and the calling of God brings us to a place of dropping certain stuff in order to embrace our calling. As long as we hold on to certain things, we might never walk in the fullness of our calling because they are just a distraction in our lives. And the Bible says, when Peter, James, and John heard what Jesus said, they did not debate with Jesus. Born for this, they followed Jesus. Another story, verse 27. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. I want you to know that a tax collector was the greatest of sinners at that time. A tax collector was like scum in the community. Why? They were known for defrauding people of their monies. They would charge them more than what Caesar was asking for. And therefore, people did not like tax collectors. And yet, Jesus saw more than a tax collector in Matthew. And he says, Levi, leave this tax collecting business. There is something deeper in your life. Come follow me. So many times we have disqualified ourselves into walking in what God has called us to do based on our past, based on the family you were born. Maybe in your family no one has ever done it and you say it doesn't run in my family. But I want you to know God is in the business of calling families to a higher calling in their lives. And Matthew, the Bible says, so he left all and rose up and followed Jesus. Many of us know what Jesus wants us to do, even right here in this church, but we have not been prepared to drop certain things and to follow Jesus in what he has called us to do. Luke 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. I believe when Jesus was praying, he knew already who these men were because he had already a lot of disciples following him and he knew exactly who the 12 were meant to be. And I believe, this is my own assumption, that when Jesus was praying up in the mountain, he was saying, Father, when I point them out, may they be a testimony in their hearts. May they not resist the calling of God over their lives. May they forsake all for the sake of the kingdom. Yes, he was praying for him to see clearly who these men were, but I believe he was also praying that when he calls out these 12, they'll be able to say, yes, Lord. That is why as a church, we need to intercede and pray. Say, Lord, will you call those whom you have called? May they be aware of what they carry. May they see themselves after the spirit and not after the flesh. What do I mean by that? We can see ourselves after our weaknesses. We can see ourselves after our history, after our surroundings, to a point where we don't see what God has placed inside of us. We've got to see ourselves after the Spirit if we are to walk in what God has called us to do, born to do this. And he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Jesus the man did not stop then calling men and women. And this morning I want you to know there is a calling over your life. There is a destiny over your life. There is that one thing that you were born to do, and the heavens are waiting for you to manifest. The Bible says creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation is waiting for you to manifest, for you to say, I have come to do what God has called me to do. It's not a lack of God calling people. It's a lack of response to those who have been called. It's a lack of response because we are tied up. We are busy with our own lives. And Jesus is saying, I'm counting on you. I'm waiting on you to do what you alone can do. Luke 10 verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. He's in the business of calling men and women. He's in the business of awakening dreams that have died. And I'm speaking to you right now in the name of Jesus. The dreams that you had, may they rise up in the name of Jesus. Awake and live up to what God has placed in your life. You used to see yourself as a certain person, but life happened. And we dropped those things. But I speak to you right now to awake to what God has called you to do. And now the Bible says he appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Now this is the beauty. John the Baptist was the one who was called to prepare the way for Jesus. To prepare a people ready for the Lord. And I want you to know many of us are called to prepare the way for the gospel. To prepare the way for the heralding of the word. You might not be the one who brings that person to Jesus, but you prepare the ground. You do the groundwork. Somebody said, it will take 21 touch points for somebody to come to the Lord Jesus. And some of us, you might be the 7th touch point. And do not grow weary when people don't come to the Lord. At some point, that seed will germinate. Glory be to God. Now, this morning, I want you to know, when we talk about born to do this, ultimately, the purpose and the design for God in man is for men to glorify God. So whatever purpose, whatever you are born to do, ultimately, it is to glorify God. Ultimately, it is to worship God. When God created Adam and Eve, it was not because God was so lonely in heaven. No, the Godhead was there. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were in communion, but out of their love, they said, let's create man in our own image. When God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says, in the breeze of the afternoon, God would come down and he would fellowship with Adam. He would talk to Adam. And Adam would worship God. So your main purpose in life, really, it is to glorify God. So if your purpose does not bring glory to God, maybe it's not from God. If it doesn't bring honor to God, maybe it is not from God. The fact that marijuana has just been legalized in South Africa doesn't mean that you can go around and selling the drug because it is now legal. Does it glorify God? Cannabis is legalized for private use. And I remember listening to them saying in small quantities. My small quantity. That's my small quantity. Your small quantity might be this. So whatever they mean by small quantity is relative. But I'm saying selling cannabis because it's legalized doesn't bring glory to God. Does somebody hear me this morning? I'm talking about a purpose that glorifies God. You see, when you look even the story of the children of Israel, when Moses went to Pharaoh, he said, Pharaoh, release my people. God is saying, release my people, not for them to go and possess Canaan. He says, release my people so that they can worship me in the desert. That was the main purpose. So whatever we do, it is to bring glory to God. It is to honor the name of the Lord. Now, how does this thing look like? The issue of, I'm born to do this. When you know what you're born to do, you do it without blinking. You do it, you pay the ultimate price because you were born to do it. They'll tell you, if I stop doing this, I will die tomorrow. Because they were born to do it. Some people will grow sick for not following the calling of God over their lives. Born to do this, how does it look like? Number one, the whole issue of born to do this is this. It is your discovery and not your decision. Your purpose in life, your calling in life is not your decision, but your discovery. You don't decide that I'm going to be a preacher from now on. You hear me vibrating with the word of God. No, you don't decide that. Many people have decided for themselves to do certain things and they got worn out. Because when you decide to do things that you do not contain, you'll be fatigued. But when you contain a grace, when you contain an ability from heaven, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you, you'll bounce back. There's an ability to be resilient. Amen. Glory be to God. So your calling, child of God, is not your decision. It's your discovery. And when you discover what God has called you, it doesn't matter the price. You'll go for it because that is where your essence of being comes from. So when Jesus was calling his disciples, it was out of his own initiative. James, John, and Peter did not go to Jesus and say, hey, buddy, we really like the way you preach. Can I be part of your team? There was one who tried to do it, and they did not qualify. So James, John, and Peter did not come to Jesus and say, I really love your pulpit, the way it looks like. Can I just be part of your team? When we decide for ourselves, we will not make it. Now Jesus, talking to his disciples, says in John 15, verse 16, Jesus said to them, you did not choose me. You did not choose me, but I chose you. For what reason? So that you can bear fruit. What type of fruit? Fruit that remains. And because of that, you shall ask anything in my name, and my Father will do it. Oh man, when I read that, something jumped in my spirit. I saw a connection in me walking in what God has called me and receiving favor before God because I'm a partner with Jesus in building his kingdom. Amen. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And what I've chosen you to is to be fruitful. And whatever you are fruitful in, it is fruit that remains. Why? Because it comes from me. You see, when you are running in your race, when you produce in what God has called you, you will produce fruit that remains. You'll be able to look back and you'll see a track record. And they will say, a man passed by here and our lives were never the same again. It will be a testimony of lives that are changed. It will be a testimony of things that have happened that has changed the course of life in somebody. From time to time, I remember my history. Back in the days when I was younger. I remember when we were in Cape Town, the Lord blessed us to lead a certain youth ministry. And we had 10 leaders in our youth ministry. And today, when we look back, out of those 10, 4 or 5 of them are pastors, ordained as pastors. And almost all of them are married with kids, except for one whose marriage did not really work out at some point. But the majority of them, when I look at their lives, I see fruit that remained. Why? Because I was running in what God had called me to do. I look in the recent past at Highveld, the guys who were in our youth ministry there, most of them are married, and I hear testimony. They're saying, God has been so good to us. We remember all the teaching that you were teaching us. Why? Fruit that remains. When you run your race, it might look like it's barren at the beginning, but when you hold on long enough, you produce fruit that remains. Glory be to God. That is the motivation for me, to do what God has called me to do. You see, this is the thing. God has chosen you. Be chosen of God for the work. Be chosen of God for the work. Whatever it is, do you know that sometimes even our jobs, there's actually a difference between a job and work. You know, they can fire you from your job, but they may not fire you from your work, because your work is your calling. They can fire you from your job. So when your job and your work align, you will be a fulfilled individual. You might be working in a home, helping out, but you might find that the Lord has called you there for a purpose, to bring life in that family. It reminds me of the little girl who was serving Naaman, the general of Syrian army. This little girl was taken from Israel as a captive, as a slave, and she was there serving. And then Naaman was hit by leprosy. And then the girl saw that the master was scratching all the time. And then she went to her mistress. She said, "I see that Papa is scratching a lot. I know there is a prophet. I know there is a prophet in Israel who can heal him." Maybe it was just for that, that this little girl, who is not known by name, but brought such glory to God. So do not undermine where God has planted you. So you must be planted in the vine. So when Jesus is talking about be fruitful, there's a place where Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." So when you walk in that thing that God has called you, it can't be an issue of, "Well, I have met it. Now I can do it by myself." Remain plugged in the vine. Remain connected, because that is where life flows from. Remain plugged in the vine. And you must labor in the correct field. When it comes to what God has called you to do, remain faithful to what God has called you. It doesn't matter how tough it is. It doesn't matter how easy it is. Keep faithful. Labor in it so that you can produce fruit. So that you can produce fruit. And lastly, I want you to know that you must look after your fruit. You must look after what you produce. Feed it so that it remains. I'm talking about born for this. And when you realize that you are here for a purpose, you are not a mistake, it will change the way you look at yourself. It will change the way you think about yourself. It will change the way you think about the next person. Many times we don't respect ourselves because we haven't had a revelation of what we contain. I'm not saying be pompous, I'm not saying be proud, but I'm saying put value on your life. Ephesians 2 verse 10. "For we are God's handiwork. For we are God's masterpiece. For we are God's creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And Paul brings up such a profound revelation to the church at Ephesus. He says, "Don't you realize that you are God's masterpiece? Don't you know that God crafted you with intention? Very deliberate. He placed in you certain things that you need to fulfill your calling. You are God's handiwork." prepared to do good works. Good works that were ordained, pre-appointed before time. So the stuff that I have, it's not stuff that I just decide and develop by myself. It is stuff that is inside of me, that were prepared, pre-appointed in advance before I was born. Now listen to this. Each one of us have a story to live. Each one of us have a story to live. And that story is so important to you, to God, and to people around you. The moment you realize that I have a story to tell, the moment that you realize I have a story to live, and this story is so important for heaven, because heaven is counting on you. Do you know that whatever you are carrying, it is so unique? It is very unique. You can have a number of worship leaders here, but each worship leader is unique in themselves. You can have pastors who can preach a storm, but each pastor is different. The question that you need to answer is, what type of a worship leader am I? Am I a prophetic worship leader? What type of a teacher of the word am I? Has the Lord called me to teach certain things? And mediocre comes when we just settle in that average there, where everybody is just called the titles without going beyond the title. People, a lot of people, whenever, let's say I'm employed here and one day I'm shown the door, like the time is up. Do I lose my identity because the title pastor has been removed? Or I continue thriving because it's not the title that makes me who I am, it is a function. Do you hear me this morning? Your life should not just be based on position. It should be based on your function. There are a lot of people who are not called pastors, but they function as pastors. What does it mean to be a pastor? To be a shepherd of God's people. To feed God's people. That is what a pastor does. I remember I used to run away from that title. I'm like, don't call me a pastor. Don't call me that. I had an issue, and yet I was functioning as a pastor. I had a heart for people. Just still carry it even today. Now it is important that you catch that revelation that you are unique and that your story is important for heaven. Your story is important for you. Your story is important for the next person. Look at this. Psalm 139 verse 16. David brings such a mystery. He tells us about what goes on in heaven. My kids, from time to time, they would watch our wedding video. Okay, it's an old video, you know. It's now 12 years old. And sometimes I look at the suit I was wearing on our wedding. I'm like, Lord, what happened there? You know, it wasn't the greatest of suits. But anyway, I got married in that suit. That is the most important thing. It's not about outward appearance, guys. Now, my kids would watch our wedding video, and then one of them would say, so when this was happening, where was I? Daddy, where was I? And then I found a way of answering him. And I say, when this was happening, do you know where you were? You were in prayer. You were in prayer. We were praying for you. We were praying that heaven would release you one day. And it's not far from the truth. Because heaven releases us at an appointed time. God allows you to be conceived. When you think about the whole process of conception, there are millions and millions of sperms that go up, but it's just one that makes it. Is it by chance? No. In the plan of God, He decides that is what will produce my destiny on earth, and I'll allow it to happen. Does somebody hear me this morning? So you are not an oops. It doesn't matter, even mama had not planned to have you. In heaven, it was not an oops. In heaven, it had to happen. I know people who are on contraceptives and they're married, but they still give birth. And a lot of them struggled at the beginning of the trimester, like, I wasn't planning for this baby, but this baby is coming. What am I going to do? And then they need counseling to receive what God is doing. Do you hear me this morning? Now, Psalm 139, verse 16. This is what David says. You saw me before I was born. Where were you? To answer that question, where was I when you were getting married? And now David says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. What a revelation. That should change the way you look at yourself. That should change the way you think about tomorrow. Because your tomorrow is a mystery to you, but it's not a mystery to God. Does somebody hear me right now? My tomorrow is a mystery, but to God it is not a mystery. Because David is telling us that thoughts about me were written. You saw them before even one of them came to pass. For me that is so liberating. It should build faith in a child of God to know that it doesn't matter the battles I'm going to face tomorrow. God knows about those battles. He has already fought for me. He knows if I'm going to be defeated tomorrow, there is a plan around to give me victory. Amen. Glory be to God. I don't know if you're excited, but I'm feeling excited this morning. You see, God mapped out our lives, and it is up to us to walk in what has been mapped out for us. It is up to me to live my script. Now, there is a confusion in heaven when Lindo is trying to live my script. He's busy studying my life and wanting to live by me. And heaven is saying, no, that's not your script. Put that book down. And I say to you, somebody right now, put that book down. It's your mama's book. It's not your book. You're trying to live like your mama. You're trying to talk like your daddy. No, it's not your book. Go pick your book. Let heaven show you on what page you are. Let heaven show you on what chapter you should be on right now. Why? The Bible tells us that every day of my life was recorded in your book. On that day when I appear before the judgment seat of Christ, he will say to me, good and faithful servant. You know what he'll do? He'll open up that book. And you say, you walked this book. You took a detour at some point, but you came back to the book. Well done, faithful servant. You took too much time on this chapter. You lingered a little bit longer than you should have. But I'm glad that you decided to move on. So many times we hold on to issues for too long in our lives that we stop to move. We stop ourselves from moving into what God has called us to do. Maybe you were hurt by a pastor somewhere. You come into this church and say, no more. I'm just going to sit at the back and watch the show. But Jesus will say to you, you got a revelation and you moved on. And you say, let bygones be bygones. I don't want to miss what God has in store for me. Glory be to God. He says here, David is telling us, every day of your life was recorded in the book. And when you catch up to this idea, you realize that nothing happens to us by chance. Nothing happens to us by chance. Why? Because God is working out everything for our good. The pain that you're going through right now, because I can hear you saying, but then how does it explain the misfortune that have befallen me? How do you explain the pain that I'm going through right now? How do you justify the divorce that took place in my life? How do you justify the fact that I'm raising my kid alone? I cannot justify it. But what I know is that in the plan of God, there is a plan behind my pain. There is a plan behind your suffering. It's just how you interpret what has happened in your life. If you choose to interpret it through the eyes of God, I want you to know he will work everything out for our good. Do you think Joseph thought it was great for him to be betrayed by his brothers? You know the story of Joseph? Do you think it was great, Joseph being thrown in a pit by his own brothers? No. When you go to Genesis 45, after all the hullabaloo has happened, the brothers come. And there is Joseph, the Pharaoh of the land. And Joseph could not contain himself. Read that, a beautiful story. When he saw his brothers, he could not contain himself. He revealed himself to his brothers and he said to them, "Dudes, you sold me out." I like the way Joseph dealt with it. He told them, he said, "You sold me out." Almost like reminding them, like, I haven't forgotten. "You sold me out." Almost telling them, "I remember the plot that you did for me. But you know what? What you were doing, it was God sending me ahead to prepare and preserve life." What a way of interpreting a situation. Somebody says, hindsight is 20/20 vision. Then you'd say, well, Joseph was in a better place now. He could now interpret. But I want you to know the desire of God is for you to interpret what you're going through right now through the eyes of God. To be able to say to your friend, "You betrayed me. You betrayed me. But it's okay. God was testing my heart. Out of your betrayal, my heart became stronger. I can withstand anything now because I am ready. God used you as a preparation ground for where he is taking me." Glory be to God. This morning, may this just settle in your heart. Acts 17 verse 26. This is Paul after he had gone into the city of Athens and he saw multitude of idols. And now he's talking to them and he says, "And he, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." The Lord has pre-appointed us. The Lord has determined where we should be and when we should be there. Some of you relocated, not really understanding why you are relocating. But there was a divine providence. By the hand of God, he led you from that rural area into a big city so that you can bring some moral value in a place where morality is no longer part of their lives. I remember talking to somebody at work. I will not go into the details, but ultimately, this guy said to me, "The reason why you lived the way you lived is because you are coming from a rural background." I'm like, maybe not. It's because of my love for God. But there's a perception that rural folk, people who have what we call a strong rural background, tend to live in a certain moral way. But, you know, these days things have changed. But what I'm trying to say here is that your steps are ordered by God. Psalms 37. Your steps are ordered by God. Because of time, I want to jump all the other scriptures. Let's go to the second point and the last point for today. That what you were born to do, what you were born to do was never about you, but about the other. What you were born to do is never about me. It's never about my comfort. It's never about my success. So if whatever you're pursuing, if the agenda is for you to have a bigger pocket, if the agenda for you is to have a bigger house, maybe it's not really what you are born to do. You see, the ultimate objective in the calling of God of our lives is just to serve. It is to serve the next person. And then guess what? When you are faithful in what God has called you to do, he says, "And all these things shall be added unto you." And all these things shall be added unto you. When you pursue God, you pursue your calling, you run in the rain, you run in the cold, you give up every pleasure you could have. The Bible tells me, no one who has lost mama, daddy, house, children for the sake of the kingdom will go without having a hundredfold on this earth and in the world to come. So these things will come. It might not come in my fifth year of ministry. It might not come in the 10th year of ministry. But I bet you, God says, a worker is worth of his wages. So my pursuit should not be, let me just push this agenda, get more people so that I can get more into the church account and then get a big salary. And there are people who are driven like that. What are we driven for? Why do we do what we're doing? So this morning, it's never about you. It's about the other. And listen to this. Whatever you do for yourself dies with you. Whatever you do for somebody else outlives you. That's the issue of calling. Whatever you do for yourself, you'll die with it. But whatever you do for me, it will outlive you. Whatever I have is for you. Whatever you have is for me. Glory be to God. And this morning, I want you to know that the calling of God over our lives is about the other person. I want to jump straight to the last points about the whole issue of serving, about the whole issue of doing what God has called you to do. And Jesus paints the most accurate picture of what it means to live for what you are born to do. Number one, Jesus came and he laid down his life for you. So what you are born to do, it might cost your life. It might cost your everything. Some people are prepared to do double shifts for what God has called them to do. What are you prepared to sacrifice? Jesus did whatever he did, not out of his accord. It was about the Father. It was about what the Father wanted him to do. So in what you are born to do, it's not about what you want to do. It's about what the sender wants you to do. Thirdly, it costed him. For him to bring comfort to you, it costed him his comfort. For us to serve in the house of the Lord, child of God, it will cost us our comfort. I look at our worship team here, 7:30, they are here Sunday morning. And some of them don't have breakfast in the morning. Why? Because they are rushing to come and rehearse and prepare. And then ourselves, we can't make it at church at 9:30. But somebody would have been here at 7:30, and they leave after us. They are prepared to live an uncomfortable life so that you can be comfortable. You can experience the glory of God when they lead us in worship. Did somebody hear me this morning? And ultimately, it costed his life. Jesus died on that cross. You might not die physically, but there are certain things that will die inside of you. You might not die physically, but there are certain things that you will forego. You know, if you are called to raise a family, you might forego the second salary. And when you cut your budget from two salaries to one salary, you forego lots of comforts. So it might not be your life, it might be your comfort, it might be something that will cost you dearly. I don't know where you've been. I don't know if you've stepped into that thing where you say, I was born for this. I was born for this. We're going to continue next week talking about how this issue looks like, because a lot of us do not understand it. I will teach more on gifts, because some of us have a narrow view of gifts. And because of that, we think, I'm not really functioning in a spiritual gift somewhere. But we'll go into details around that. But this morning, pray for yourself.